Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. How many of you are familiar with the movie that came out, I think it was probably 80s, I believe, Field of Dreams? Field of Dreams. It was as a baseball player that was a favorite of mine. And there was several lines that were popular that came out of that movie, but one of them that was very famous was, if you build it, they will come. Now, you have no idea how many times I've heard that from churches who were starting a building project. If you build it, they will come, they say. But the movie talked about this character, Ray Kinsella, who was he was a farmer out in Iowa, and he built a baseball field out in the middle of the corn. And people thought he was crazy, thought he was, you know, really had made an amazingly unbelievable decision. But something happened. After doing this, and everybody looking at him like his wife and his friends and people saying, "You're absolutely nuts," one night, eight players from the Chicago White Sox who had been banished during the night for allegedly fixing the 1919 World Series showed up and started playing baseball. They started having this amazing experience. And he would go out every night amidst people saying, "You're crazy," but he and his family eventually could see these ball players, and this field of dreams became a place where life and reconciliation and joy and love was apparent. Well, as we continue in our Minor Prophets sermon series, we have the one time this month, this time that we have two together, Haggai and Zechariah, and there's a reason for that. You see, they were contemporaries. Haggai and Zechariah were both prophesying at a time when the people of the kingdom of Judah, the Hebrew people, had come back from exile. Last week, we found Zephaniah was prophesying during the time right before they would go into exile. But now they have returned. They've returned and they have found their former home in ruin. And they decide, or at least they are called out by God, and according to Haggai, for living in their paneled houses, for making sure that they took care of themselves first before they rebuilt the temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians. Now, this may seem a bit weird, because you may recall that in the book of 2 Samuel, for example, King David wants to build a temple for the Lord, the same God, mind you, that we're talking about here in Haggai. And remember what the Lord said? Does anybody remember? He says to David, no, you're not going to build for me a temple. I've been hanging out with you, walking around in my little tent for ages. Do you see me asking for a temple? Do you see me wanting a temple? I'm perfectly content being here with you, the people. And that, my friends, as they say in the preacher business, will preach. The God who wants to live with us. And I've actually preached that to you before. And that's an awesome image, isn't it, of the God who wants to just slug it around with us all through our ups and downs and peaks and valleys, right? Well, now here we got this picture of God saying, "Hey, wait a minute, what about my house?" And I have to wonder if God is not a little bit like me in this one respect. When I was a younger man, I loved to camp out. Now, I like the hotel. I have no interest in laying on that ground more than I have to. So perhaps God, over the centuries, has decided, you know what, I kind of want to have my own house now and not be out in the tent all the time. But I think actually that's not the case here. I think God can certainly camp out as long as God wants, but the reality is this. I believe what he was getting at was the reminding them of the very thing that caused them their problems in the first place, what kind of led them into exile, according to the prophets, which was their not keeping their eye on the ball. And so this call to build the temple, to build the sanctuary, if you will, was not about God. It was about them. It was about them returning from exile and returning back to their selfish ways, returning back to their emphasis on their life and their comfort at the expense of perhaps what God is calling them to do. And I think that by the prophets coming near and saying, hey, get to work on that temple, it was less about that God needed a temple. It was about you guys need to put that which is most important first. First, because there's something to be said about having a sanctuary, a place where you can go to experience God's word, to experience God's presence, to experience God's love, and to be in the midst of people who seek to do the same. Now, a sanctuary very well may be a building. It may be a place, a space. It may be a conversation with somebody else. Whatever it is that you feel that experience of God's presence and love and grace is what God is calling these people to make central to the rebuilding of their community. Yes, sure, you can have your nice paneled houses, but you've forgotten the most important space in your life, that space where God comes near. The God who is willing to camp out with your ancestors all those centuries is wanting to camp out with you now in your rebuilt city. And so as we think about this reading for us today, we are reminded of that word from Field of Dreams, build it and they will come. Well, I'll say this, build it. Build that sanctuary for you in your life. Build that place where God comes near. Build that in your life. And let me tell you, friends, they will come. What are they? That is grace. That is forgiveness. That is goodness. That is blessing. That is challenge. That is hope. That is compassion. That is mercy. Build it and they will come. The reminder of the great gifts of the prophets, the call to love God first so that you might be able to love those around you, the call to be reminded that God has named you and claimed you in your baptism so that you will never doubt that you are alone. You will never, never worry that you are alone. Build it and they will come. What's fascinating about the movie Field of Dreams, and since it's been out over 20 years, I hope I'm not spoiling anything for you. And if I am, I apologize. But the thing is, when they first started the movie, you see these players coming out and playing, these guys who were banished from baseball. And now they had a chance to play. There was joy. There was a sense of hope there. And he thought, well, that's what I was doing it for. Well, then some other players came out, and then the old doctor played by Burt Lancaster, and one of the great things, he only got that one at-bat in the major leagues, and this was his opportunity. He never got to bat when he was actually in the major leagues, but on this Field of Dreams, he got his one at-bat, and then he goes and he walks back into his life as a doctor, and you think, oh, wow, well, that's what this whole thing is about. And then you see this guy who you don't recognize, and you realize that it's Ray Kinsella's dad, who he's had a very troubled relationship with his whole life. And all he wants to do is to have a game of catch. And they start playing. And you realize that this Field of Dreams as he's having a game of catch with his dad. And you start seeing these cars driving in as they will come to this place, this sanctuary. You realize that what's happening in that place is reconciliation, joy, hope, promise, all of the things that good sanctuaries are about. And brothers and sisters, in our lesson today, the prophets call upon the people and us today to be mindful of the gift of sanctuary. Those places where we are met by God. And how we might then become, in our own lives, sanctuaries ourselves. Places where we can embody hope and promise and goodness for those who are around us. Where we can embody compassion and mercy and grace for those around us. Where we can embody love and service and joy with those around us. Because the thing is, God who dwells in you, the God who lives in you, the God who uses the gifts that God gave you, is the greatest sanctuary collectively that this world could ever have. No building, no temple, no church can ever compare to the sanctuaries I see before me and the ways in which God is building up in you life and joy and hope and promise for this world. Let us, as the people of God, become the sanctuaries that God has created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.